let's talk about quality.
Okay.
Slow down. Don't get afraid now. I'm going to put my foot underneath your heel. Okay? And we can do that. This is why I have such a great job, folks.
Slow, let it slow.
Man, God, 7 fingers and cry!
Welcome to the party, pal!
Clean. Make a pace, make it 10 times as powerful. The longer you let it set, the...
Days of glory behind them, some people feel the towers have become an eyesore, a dangerous jumble.
We want to tell you what we know as we know it, but we just got a report in that there's been some sort of explosion at the World Trade Center in New York City. One report said, and we can't confirm any of this, that a plane may have hit one of the two towers of the World Trade Center, but again, you're seeing the live pictures here. We have no further details than that. We don't know anything about what they have concluded happened there this morning. But...
this video is going to be about how 9/11 was seen through our media, the involvement of our government, and why it's hard to believe what happened. It's been about a year since my last video. And since then, I've changed my opinion on a lot of things. And when I stumbled across a certain website a little while ago, I truly was blown away. I hope that you stick through with this video until the end, because it'd be really worth it. First things first, and the most important thing, do not be afraid. Fear is the most powerful emotion, and this is exploited by the media and the people who hold the most wealth and power. They're afraid of the masses getting wise to their antics, so they frighten us and trick us like a magician so we'll always comply with their rules and never question their history or authority as a group, instead only as a few individuals. I'm sure I may not change anybody's beliefs with this video, but I ask you to please be open-minded and begin taking small steps to overcome your pride and have some humility. The reason many people who are conned or scammed, never reported to police, is because it is embarrassing to be had or fooled. You feel like a sucker. Push those feelings and thoughts back. Almost everyone fell for this con. I find it a curious thing that most people say that they don't trust anybody, including neighbors, strangers, and even people they have a relationship with, yet blindly believe the mainstream news media, even though they are complete strangers as well, with their own agenda. This is almost programmed into us from a young age in this country, and it's difficult to look more critically at them. But once you break yourself of that trust, it is easy to see the things that are real and the things that are fabrication. The major reason we Americans may never fully blow 9/11 wide open as a fraud is due to our basic psychology as human beings. This is difficult to overcome and takes baby steps, but once you have awareness for a while, you feel less fear and anxiety because you realize there is not so much to fear at all. The main conditions which cause this are called cognitive dissonance and the bystander effect. Cognitive dissonance is officially defined as the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. These inconsistent thoughts cause fear, anxiety, confusion, and sometimes anger. Broken down, it actually means that we experience the anxiety, fear, anger, and indignation towards things that challenge our previously held beliefs, ideas, or behaviors. It's the art of lying to yourself, the act of denial for comfort. Try to be humble and swallow your pride so you can accept things that scare you. When these ideas and messages are put to us that conflict with our worldview and what we have held as truth for a long time, we will react with anger, denial, anxiety, and fear. This causes most people to either put up a wall to protect themselves or react in rage towards the source of the ideas or information, killing the messenger. It will be difficult or maybe impossible to get the actual truth of what happened on 9/11, because we are indoctrinated that the government and news media are there to protect us, that America is the good guys, and old-fashioned patriotism and pride. But when it comes down to it, it is being unpatriotic to not point out our dark side and mistakes so we can prevent them from happening again, instead falling for it time after time, resulting in American soldiers and innocent foreigners losing their lives over being lied to. The bystander effect, or bystander apathy, is a social, psychological phenomenon that refers to cases in which individuals do not offer any means of help to a victim when other people are present.
Liverpool Street Station in London, a busy thoroughfare for commuters. Unknown to these passers-by, Peter is an actor. As part of an experiment on bystander apathy, he's pretending to be ill.
Help.
How long before he gets help?
Please help me.
Helping would be inconvenient or even risky. He lies there for more than 20 minutes and no one raises an eyebrow.
Please, somebody help me.
It's always very distressing to watch situations like this where people are obviously suffering and no one's actually helping them. But what we have here is two conflicting rules. One is the rule that we ought to help, and the other is the rule that we ought to do what everybody else is doing. And here you have a group of strangers who are exerting the pressure not to intervene, not to help. And it's very difficult to rebel.
Ruth, another actor, takes Peter's place. How long before she receives help? Four minutes later, and 34 people have passed without stopping.
Well, people don't really want to know. They just haven't got the time. Well, they have got the time. They just don't want to get involved.
Unwittingly, these strangers have silently formed a temporary group with a rule: don't get involved. They're afraid to stand out from the crowd and won't take action if no one else does. This woman has clearly spotted Ruth, but she conforms to the rule and does nothing. Watch what happens, though, when someone else helps.
You all right? You all right?
Yes, thank you.
Sure, you look a bit clicky, you know what I mean?
She suddenly finds herself in a different group with a new rule to help.
You want to sit up?
She don't look well, does she?
You all right? Yeah. What's wrong?
First I thought she was dead. Then I sort of checked to see if she was breathing or not. And I looked around and I couldn't believe that no one had noticed her, because there was a bloke sat there just absorbed in reading a newspaper.
This time, Peter's dressed as a respectable gentleman. Now that his dress is in keeping with those around him, how long before he's rescued?
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm all right.
6 seconds. She even calls him sir, and suddenly everyone's a good Samaritan.
Do you suffer from epilepsy?
No.
While you're lying on the floor in the rain?
Because he's part of the right group, everyone wants to help.
When we relate this to 9/11, the group thinking is that the official story is true, so most people will go with the group, even if they might have some troubling thoughts or questions in the back of their mind. And also, when these thoughts or beliefs are challenged, they can react with anger and denial, try to disparage or hurt the person trying to tell them the truth, and shut down because of their own fears and anxiety about if it was true. These are basic human emotions and psychology at work, and this has been studied extensively since the 1950s. A test was conducted by the professor who coined the phrase cognitive dissonance, and he discovered a very interesting human reaction.
In the mid-50s, Leon Festinger and his colleague Merrill Carlsmith conducted a classic experiment in which students were engaged in very boring tasks. The students were then given a request by one of Festinger's staff.
Okay, that's fine. Let me tell you now what we're actually studying here. It's the effect of preparatory mental set on performance. The rest of the subjects are prepared by being told that the experiment will be very interesting and enjoyable. In fact, lots of fun. Now I have a somewhat unusual request to make of you. The next subject is waiting right outside, but the fellow who ordinarily gives the spiel isn't here. I wonder if you could possibly take his place. As a matter of fact, we figure we'll be needing someone in the future, so I'd like to offer you a $20 retainer and have you remain on call for us. Would that be all right?
$20? That'd be fine.
Half the students were randomly assigned to the group that received $20 for lying that the experiment was fun. The other half were given only $1 for lying.
Dollar as a sort of a retainer and have you remain on call with us. Would that be all right with you?
Yes, that'll be all right.
The cognitive dissonance came from the knowledge that the experiment was in fact boring, and $1 was insufficient reward for lying. Many of the $1 subjects actually convinced themselves that the experiment was fun after they made their decision to reduce the dissonance between their prior beliefs and their behavior. They came to believe a big lie for a small incentive.
To a girlfriend of mine who participated in an experiment last week, and she said it was very tedious.
Oh, I don't think that was the same experiment, because this one wasn't boring at all. I didn't think so.
The $20 subjects, on the other hand, felt no dissonance, because they felt comfortable in lying just for the money.
He said it was pretty miserable, and that I should do everything I could to get out of it.
Well, I think maybe your friend was wrong. Perhaps it was a different experiment, because this was a lot of fun. It appeared to me as if it were a puzzle. We, you know, had to turn these knobs, and I tried to figure out what we were doing it for, but I really couldn't figure it out. Perhaps you'll have better luck.
Other theories might predict that the man who was paid most would have the highest motivation for enthusing over the dull task and would be most sold on it himself. Cognitive dissonance theory leads to an exactly opposite prediction. The man who is paid $20 knows that the task is dull, but he also knows that he had sufficient justification for saying that it wasn't. Did you enjoy working on the manual test?
Well, it really wasn't too enjoyable. In fact, it was rather boring.
How about the man who is paid $1? He knows the task is dull, but he has two discrepant thoughts. He also knows that he did not have sufficient justification for saying that it wasn't. For him, there is dissonance. Time after time, we have seen what follows. He reduces the dissonance by changing his opinion about the dullness of the task. Did you enjoy working on the manual task?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Would you like to participate in such an experiment again?
Yes, I think I would like to.
Anytime there is insufficient reward, there will be dissonance. The general principle seems to be that people come to believe in and to love the things they have to suffer for. People come to believe in and to love the things they have to suffer for. People come to believe in and to love the things they have to suffer for.
To be more clear, they had conflicting thoughts. Thought one was that the test was boring. Thought two was that they weren't paid enough to lie and say the test was not boring. Because of this conflict, they lie to themselves and say the test wasn't boring and actually believe that it was not boring so that they can avoid the small anxiety and upset that the conflict in their mind had caused. These are proven psychological behaviors. The human mind can be such a tricky thing. So how does this relate to 9/11 and the truth never being revealed? Because of cognitive dissonance, many people will never accept an alternative theory, even if shown or told undisputable evidence that it was a lie. That does not mean that they are sheep or weak-minded. Their mind is just protecting them from anxiety, fear, and upset. There are powerful emotions for people to overcome, and it cannot be done in a 10-minute YouTube video or a short debate on a news station. People sometimes also say, how could all those witnesses they interviewed on the street that day lie and say they saw planes hit buildings if they never did? Why wouldn't they come out and admit they lied later on? It is most likely because they were told what they saw by others in the group, who may have been told planes hit the building by the conspirators or saw a replay of it on the news. They were not given a huge incentive to lie. And after the fact, many of them convinced themselves, especially after seeing the manufactured imagery on the news, that they actually saw something that they never did. Now that we have discussed the psychology and why many of us will not accept the alternative view of 9/11, based on facts, physics, science, history, common sense, instead taking whatever we have believed for years or hear on mainstream media, we can get into how I believe this happened. I base my thoughts on the subject after watching many documentaries, reading a lot on the internet, and weighing what the evidence tells me against what the media tells me. This includes alternative media. I decided not to base my research on my beliefs or preconceived notions, but just take an open-minded view of everything and every theory and see what sticks as the most plausible explanation to me of what actually went down. I pushed away dissonance, fear, pride, patriotism, and trust in both the mainstream and truth movement research. This is what I came to and how I got there. Television is used as a massive tool of influence and manipulation of masses of people. Thank God for the internet. The purpose of 9/11 was to scare and incite anger in the populace so we would accept war and more erosion of our freedoms. This did not benefit anyone in the Middle East in a cave. This benefited the American war machine and all the corporations involved with it. This includes the news media. Do you remember being glued to the TV for days after 9/11? Possibly even years? You certainly weren't watching Friends. We also need to realize that this was not an event that just took place on that one morning, but was put into motion years before, and what has resulted afterwards, including the truth movement, was also part of this plan. Because any propaganda strategist will tell you that you must also control your opposition. Let's start at the very beginning, way back. October 30th, 1938. Orson Welles puts on a radio drama that is presented as a real news. The broadcast was about a horrifying alien invasion involving giant tripods from Mars with fire beams destroying cities and scorching Earth, as well as killing many people. It was presented as reality, with fake news broadcasters, fake scientists, and fake military authorities. Although the people of today's age would easily realize it was a fraud, back in the dawn of broadcasting in the late 30s, this terrified and completely fooled the American population into thinking that an alien invasion from Mars was real, causing panic and hysteria across the country. This was, of course, because they are not used to being so boldly lied to. This sets a precedent for the future, as it was proven that anything presented as quote-unquote news would be accepted by the masses, even if it was an outlandish lie. Of course, years later, radio was overtaken by television as the most powerful instrument of persuasion since man first put pen to paper. People spent hours on end in front of the television screen in a trance-like hypnotic stare. Because of this, television news, 24-hour cable news, and the like are all taken as gospel by a large majority of the population, no matter what is presented as truth or history in other places. We are taught and subvertly influenced that anyone who questions or shows the news or authorities have lied over, even participated in a huge lie, along with the government, is labeled as a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist and is therefore insane, has mental issues, and is generally a complete fool. In some cases, these conspiracies are foolish and not based in evidence, or so outlandish that as to discredit anyone else who may voice one. Many people in America fear ridicule of themselves or beliefs. So even though they may have their conscience knowing something was fishy, it is pushed down so they can be like a quote-unquote normal person. Nobody wants to be labeled a weirdo. This has been a tactic to keep the truth from ever being accepted by the masses and create a false history. I explained cognitive dissonance and group thinking earlier, and this is that human behavior at work. In many cases through history, these one-time conspiracy theories can end up being proved at a later date. The most well-known example of this is the people who are considered crazy conspiracy types because they believe the Earth was a sphere and not flat, even though the scientific community said it was flat. They too were thought of as stupid fools and treated in the same way that people who can see that 9/11 was a fabrication by the media are treated. There are plenty of sources out there explaining why America's powerful groups needed 9/11 to happen. I do not need to go into the same subject of our military and corporate interests being the beneficiaries of the event ad nauseum because it's so well covered already. What I am going to tell you is the conclusion that I have come to after much debate, research, and thought. The only website and videos that go along with mostly what I think is closest to the truth is called September Clues, and is where I got most enlightened and found what made the most sense. I just have to push down the dissonance and think about how I would pull it off if I were the hoaxer, much like trying to figure out how a magician does his magic trick. 9/11 was more than just an inside job. 9/11 was a complete fake. There were no planes crashing into towers. There were no planes crashing into the Pentagon. The event was no more than a Hollywood-style production and drama played out on live television to incite the population and make a lot of money for a lot of people. Very few, if any, people actually died that day. The numbers of victims is different at every memorial. The footage we saw was a special effect, no different from Terminator or Jurassic Park. Many people, including a lot of news anchors and reporters, were unknowing participants in this drama, along with actors and bystander effect-driven citizens on the street, with their reactions either being scripted or a result of believing what everyone else was telling them, even though it conflicted with what they actually witnessed. The Twin Towers were considered an eyesore. The whole complex was getting very old and sitting on likely the best real estate in the world. The place was full of asbestos, and it would be difficult to get rid of it all. The towers needed to come down, but doing a demolition in the busiest place in America is no easy task. It would be possible to take the towers down in some manner, but would be extremely costly. They wanted to give the complex a huge facelift. The towers had been insured against terrorism suspiciously just weeks before they were destroyed by terrorism. Using the destruction would in essence kill many birds with one stone. Everybody wins if it's a result of terrorism. Resulting in a war that has no end, a bunch of cash to rebuild downtown Manhattan, and more fear and control over the population by taking away a few more freedoms, as well as scaring the hell out of them. But they had to be careful. Killing a bunch of white-collar office workers for this purpose would result in people bringing lawsuits and possibly causing an uprising if the truth came out. It's all about money, so they needed to simulate death as to avoid the possibly horrible results of people actually finding out what happened. If nobody actually died, then it is more of a no harm, no foul situation way that they can justify it to themselves. That is not easy to say. And at one time, I would be ashamed of even just saying that out loud. But I will explain why I have come to this conclusion in a few moments. Have you ever seen a movie 10 or 20 years ago and considered what you saw to be excellent special effects, almost like real life, only to go back and see it again today and not be so impressed anymore? This is a good analogy about how I felt when I decided to check out the idea of TV fakery on 9/11 by actually analyzing the video footage for myself. It can be found and downloaded from the NIST websites. When I did this, I realized two important facts. First, there are literally dozens of video anomalies that make no sense when it comes to the second plane's impact. There are disappearing wings, the nose of the plane popping through the other side undamaged, shadows and light inconsistencies by the dozen, as well as different impact visuals. The second fact has to do with the unchangeable Newton's law, which explains why a jet airplane cannot cut through steel buildings like butter, no matter the speed or payload, because that is like believing you can throw a ping pong ball as fast as possible and getting it to cut through a steel door. These are unchangeable facts of nature, physics, in our world that cannot be changed, and completely solidified the case of news media using special effects with the assistance of the government and military in a War of the Worlds type presentation for a purpose on a much higher level. The other troubling after effect of all the inconsistencies and strange circumstances surrounding 9/11 did not go without public notice. The quote-unquote truth movement was started. The main issue with this movement is that it was planned out as part of the operation, just as much as the story of the 19 hijackers was. This group will accuse the government of complicity up and down, but the second you mention the media participation and video composited planes in the footage, you are exiled from their group. The people who ask everyone to, quote, investigate 9/11 and have an open mind about what happened that day, completely shut down and censor those of us who have gone as far as we can and discovered that the whole thing was a sham. It is unfortunately obvious that this group has been infiltrated by government shills and is controlled as much as the demolitions were that day that they love to speak about. Of course, Building 7 was a smoking gun of how this was planned ahead, but the media fakery is much more a serious deception than anything else that happened that day. They blame dustification video analysis on thermite paint instead of simple CGI. If you were going to do this, would you do it the hard way with crazy military explosions, chemicals, hijackings that could go wrong? Or would you go the easy route and just lie about it and make it happen the same way Hollywood does? It leaves much less to chance, but mistakes were still made, both with live CGI news shots as well as the composited CGI average Joe on the street, who were anything but, that was released hours later after being edited. For the first part of my analysis, I'm going to show a video that I found from the NIST website, as well as another video. I analyzed them with what program's called Dartfish. This isn't really a scripted part of the movie. I just wanted to kind of show you the research that I did. And you can find these on September Clues. I show it here. This video I haven't seen on September Clues yet, but it's a shot of the second strike, which is what I really focus on, because you can find a lot of special effect mistakes in that part of all the videos. So first, I'm going to play the video at normal speed, and at normal speed, you really can't see a whole lot, and at first, I didn't see a whole lot. But using the analysis, you can really go frame by frame and clearly see some interesting problems and things that should not be in this video at all. So normal speed first here. Now we're going to slow it down to 25%. And in this shot, I'm going to start doing some frame analysis. So when you do frame by frame, you can see that the plane actually bursts through the other side of the building completely intact. No damage to the front of the plane whatsoever. That, my friends, is simply impossible and completely exposes that this is simply a bad special effect. It is not possible for that visually to ever happen and shouldn't be in this video. When I use the software to zoom and go frame by frame, it is much clearer to see that this was the front of a 3D model jet that they accidentally let completely go through the image of the exploding building. And here I'm just showing that. The way that you can tell that it's the front of a jet is the coloration, a straight line here of the top and bottom where the paint meets, and the way that the nose of the plane actually completely blocks out a big bright fireball. So that just shows that it's a solid object. And what this software has allowed me to do is pull this screenshot, which shows what I think is the clearest part of the nose in front of the plane coming through the building, and put it into Photoshop where it's a little bit clearer even. You can tell that this is no smoke and this is no debris. It's too solid, and it really, it's just too easy to see for the naked eye that this one frame and even the frames around it show a plane bursting through a building. And this isn't a fringe video. This video is posted on the NIST website, the scientific body that, you know, did the 9/11 commission and the official government story. I also show that the coloration at the bottom of the plane there, the purple part, I put it up in the upper corner here just to show the color difference next to the building. So you can really tell that is purple. That isn't the color of the building. That isn't the color of smoke or debris or flames. And of course, when you look at the front of a United jet, which I found a photo of. I'm not sure if this is what they looked like in 2001 exactly, but this is the way that most of them do look. And if you saw the plane before it went into the building, that's the coloration with the light on top and the purple on the bottom. Now, anybody that hasn't seen something like this before would say, how is this even possible? And in reality, this isn't possible. And shows that it's just a special effects mistake, because a plane can't just cut through a steel building undamaged, no matter the speed. As a part of a law of physics, it's impossible. And I have a theory, which I'll go over in a second, of how I think that they modeled all of these amateur videos and basically inserted a plane into them. And the way they did that is, if you look at this map, what the FBI did was they've actually found the coordinates of every single video. And the way I know that is they've posted it, and a lot of the people who sent the videos or had to hand the videos over found out exactly where they were standing that day by the coordinates that the FBI gave them. Now, the reason they would do that is, they would say, for the investigation purposes, to find out where they were standing. But they found out where they were standing down to the inch. Now, if you take those coordinates and you drop it into a 3D map, this is just a crude example of the point I'm trying to make here. If you drop it into a 3D map that you could rotate around, you can figure out the angle that the second plane hit would look or look like from where the video was shot from. Here, I've just shown that you can just drop a model of a 747 into a 3D background and move it around any way that you want. So what they did was they found out where everybody was. They animated the jet flying into the building from a single line or single path, and then by figuring out where the video was filmed from and what height and all that, they can simply delete the background and drop the plane into a layer of the video showing it flying into the building. And in a few of the videos, they made some really bad mistakes that even some professional video compositors would wince at, especially the one I just showed you, where it comes out the other side completely intact. Now we're going to look at what's called the Chopper 5 video. This was the video that really got me started and it's probably the most well-known video of an error. And this occurred in a live shot, and it's very rare to even find this video. The only way that I think it was even dug up was somebody was recording on VHS or whatever back on that day and caught the first live shot shown on this channel of the second plane hitting the tower. And there is a lot of strange anomalies in this video that have been found, and I just wanted to quickly go over that and my analysis of this video before moving on. And what we're going to look at now is 100% speed, and you can see some strange things, like the plane should already be in frame. If you look at the timing, it should already be flying towards the building, because as he zooms in, it only takes a few seconds for him to zoom in, and after his last zoom, boom, the plane just comes right into frame almost instantly. But he did make a big mistake on this live shot, and I'll show you how that even happened. So the way that he had set up to do this was masking off the left side of the screen so that the plane could not pass into the left half of the screen. Now, we can actually put a grid over and show where the left half of the screen would be. So as long as he keeps that tower to the right of the middle line, there should be no problem with the live shot. But what actually ends up happening is the helicopter that he's filming from ends up drifting just a bit to the left. See, this here is the middle line, and if he could keep that in this position, then he's got exactly what he's looking for. But fate intervened, and the heli started to drift to the left, and as the plane enters into the building, there's a little bit of space starting to creep into the middle. And after just a moment, we've got a really big space, and he's completely missed lining up his shot correctly. So, and again, this was only shown once, so you can clearly see that because of his mistake, the nose of the plane, kind of like in the other video I showed, pops out the other side. A solid object, and it's the exact same shape, size, and form of the nose before it entered the building, coming completely out the other side. And this has been looked at many times, but it's probably one of the best examples of how they tried to pull off the fraud live, as well as in the videos that came out the next day or days later. Another thing that is very suspicious is on every live shot, right after the plane goes towards her, hits the building, it fades to black. So that really is impossible unless it was done for some purposeful reason. Not every station should fade to black for 6 or 7 frames, as I just showed here. And then when they come back, the explosion is there and the plane has been taken out. Now, that might have been a last second reaction by somebody who was watching over, making sure this was going right, because they might have just seen the mistake. The only other possibility that I could think of, and this is probably a little less likely and a little too complicated in my opinion, is there is a device called an EMP, or electromagnetic pulse, that sends a high voltage pulse to every electronics device in the area, causing it to malfunction for a moment or, you know, completely stop. The only reason I could see them doing this is to prevent videos they don't want to be filmed from being able to film the strike. The only reason that I would even bring this up is because in some of the videos shot by the amateurs, you can see in the storefronts and next to, in, you know, the periphery of their shot, there's lights flickering, like, you know, the neon outside of a store will flicker off just as the plane is hitting the building. So these two videos really do show just how many mistakes they made. And like I said before, when you go back and watch it years later, it's funny how you start to see all these problems. And I'm going to go back here and look at this again real quick, just to reiterate that it is completely unfeasible for a jet airplane to be able to crash through solid steel, a solid steel structure, both through the front, go through the entire building in a split second, and then penetrate through the back like it's nothing. It's basically because airplanes are built out of the most lightweight materials possible for obvious reasons, so they can fly and don't cost an arm and a leg to fly. Even if it was somehow modified, it still wouldn't be able to happen. It just wouldn't happen. It's like throwing an aluminum can through a plank of wood. All that's going to happen is the can will crumple and fall to the ground. Yet, in all the videos that we saw that day, that's not what happened. The can went straight through and eventually caused the destruction of the whole building. So, after actually analyzing and stopped thinking about that it was, you know, the hijackers or the military or whatever, it was just a special effect. And most of that day was just special effects, like a movie. And again, the incredible thing about the Investigate 9/11 truth movement is if you show this evidence or even talk about this evidence, they don't want to hear it. They'll kick you out, they'll call you a disinformation agent, and you'll be completely ignored. And my question is, if I can show you evidence, clearly, forensically analyzed video that makes absolutely no sense, and even the video that they showed that day makes no sense physically. Nobody ever talks about how a plane can't cut through a building, that it had to be fake. But when they say investigate 9/11, do they really mean it? If they just kick anybody that has find something that they don't like out of their group? Now I'm going to get into probably the most inflammatory part of the whole thing here on September Clues, but just because it's, you know, upsetting doesn't mean that we shouldn't take a look at it, and that's the victims. Now, I'm not saying nobody died. I don't know what happened, but one thing I can say is I've looked at this site, and not just this site, but gone to the actual memorial sites and haven't been able to find a whole lot of information or pictures about many of the people who died that day or supposedly died that day, all the way from the coroner's report from around September 11th to when you look at these pictures here. Why is the background different? Why does it look photoshopped? Why is her hair a different color? Why would that image even exist? And this is probably the more well-known of the photos, which is this Elizabeth woman. And every one of her photos, she's making pretty much the same face. And when you look in the September Clue victim area, it shows even more in-depth research about tons of these pictures. I'm just kind of going to go over them quickly to show you why I would consider most of the victims to either be fake or some kind of tomfoolery has gone on with them. You look at these photos here, everybody looks like they have been photoshopped over into a new frame. Just change the background, paste, you know, the face and the body into a different angle, the lighting's the same, the angle's the same. And when you look at these, that just doesn't make sense. Anyone who takes photos knows two photos usually don't look very much alike. That is a huge problem. So I actually went and looked for more photos, and they all ended up being like this. If your family member died in 9/11, why would you only send one picture or two pictures that look exactly the same of them? Most cases, there's either one picture or no picture at all. Sometimes they flip from right to left, so it looks like they're at a different angle, even though they're not. And another thing they could have done is they could have just taken the facial features from one person and then put it on a different person's face or head, so it looks like a whole new person. I mean, if they're going to fake these, they're going to look like complete, you know, different people. That's an easy way to just fake an identity. This has been pointed out as something that the government has done before in other operations similar to 9/11. Some of these photos even look like they're from a long time ago, so they could just pull up a picture of a policeman from 1978 and slap a name on him, because a lot of the photos I noticed, the clothing looked strange, the facial hair, and they would just look old. So let's just look at some of the memorial sites and victim sites. First, let's check out this site. This is a memorial site. So another thing I noticed, look at these sites. They look like, I guess if they were created in 2001, this is what most websites looked like, but it's not very, it doesn't seem very taken care of or updated. So, you know, when you hear never forget, how many people are actually, you know, visiting these sites, these memorial sites? All right, let's try with victims instead of just memorial. See if we can find something a little bit more direct. Victim photos. Okay. Nope, this is more memorial stuff. And I did this earlier, I just don't remember exactly how I searched for it. But I looked up the identities of about 15 people. And every time that I tried to find out more about the person, let's see, CNN. This is strange. It's hard to find. I'll find it again. But every time I looked up somebody in the list, I would only find the information about them being a victim of September 11th, maybe one paragraph and a small picture. And the picture was always exactly the same on every website. But I couldn't find any, you know, Facebook memorial pages that somebody had made, or somebody information about their past work. Just because you die on 9/11 doesn't mean that you're completely going to disappear from Google. Also, let's see. Is this the one? Yes, this is one that I was looking at earlier. I've got to zoom in because for some reason a lot of these pages are really small, which kind of hurts the clarity of the pictures. But a lot of them, the people didn't even send in a photo. There's just a candle. And when you scroll through, you can actually see a lot of these faces were actually on the September Clues website, because there's really not a whole huge pile of photos of most of the victims. Now, again, I'm not saying nobody died on 9/11, but I don't know. I don't know for sure what happened that day. I'm just going off the evidence that I find. So if you look here, I mean, they're all from 2003, September 9th. And it says updated, but none of these have been updated since. So that's strange. You'd think that somebody would say, hey, I want a better picture than this little itty bitty, you know, black and white or blurry photo of my family member to be on the memorials. So, and another thing is the firemen and the policemen, they're all black and white, kind of passport type photos. As proud as I would be that, you know, they were a firefighter or a policeman, I'd want, you know, a few real photos showing, you know, they're a person. Here's another site with that same picture of the guy that we've seen a few times now. So what I'm going to do is look up a name. Let's look up, do what I did earlier and just Google some of these people's names to see if we can find out more about their identity than is shown on this website. Because I think that way, let's look at this guy. This is what I did for a bunch, and all I could find was maybe one photo and one paragraph on everybody. So let's see. This is a site, maybe somebody, supposedly their family member talking about them, and one little short paragraph. And let's, okay, images. So we should be able to find quite a few photos of this guy. At least you'd think you would. There's this one. And the one next to it is that one just zoomed in and brightened. This one is another shot that pretty much doesn't look exactly like him, but it's a flipped angle. So in front of, instead of just a little bit of the front right side of his face, it's a little bit of the front left side. And as you look at all these other photos, that's all there is. So let's try somebody else. Okay, we'll try. Nope, that's too common of a name, I think. So what I also did was look for the uncommon name so I wouldn't get a bunch of results of people that weren't involved with the attack. So let's look this gentleman up and see if we can learn some more about him. In the images, there is this image and different sizes of it. And here's his name on a memorial. This, is that him? It doesn't really look like him. Michael, no, this is not him. Not the same person. Not supposed to be the same person. And down here, nothing. Okay, let's see if we can find a new picture of this guy. Well, you know, why wouldn't there be more information about everybody? You would think there would be lots of info about their lives, their families, pictures of them. But all I seem to find are these little blurbs. And a lot of them worked for the companies that were on the floors that the plane struck, I noticed, which was a lot of Cantor Fitzgerald and savings and loan people. And here's another picture of him. But it's a pattern that I kept coming across. And this is when I'm trying to, you know, debunk what was said on September Clues. Because as I think anybody would think that to say that either nobody died or not all these people died on 9/11 is more offensive than saying that the planes were faked, and more offensive than anything. It really gets people upset. It really gets people fired up and defensive about 9/11. But with this theory, basically you're saying not all these people died, and the reason for that is because A, they don't want to kill people because of lawsuits and possibly being found out. And B, maybe they justified it to themselves, like no harm, no foul, something like that. So it's upsetting, but I'm just trying to figure it out like anybody else. You can find more information on these victims and, you know, lots of other parts of what happened that day on this September Clues website here, which I'm really happy that I found this site. And the guy who runs the site, he gets attacked a lot and labeled as, you know, somebody who's trying to spread disinformation. But I don't see why any research is bad research. He has this page here with a disclaimer asking to be contacted by people that either were there that day or absolutely know somebody that's missing from 9/11. And asking for them to contact him And if he does get information, he'll share it on the site, but he hasn't posted anything because nobody's, you know, responded to him with, yeah, this is my family member, they were gone that day, here's four or five pictures of them, let me, you know, here's more about who they were. They're not, it hasn't been forcefully proven by anybody that these aren't simulated victims. So if you're one of the people that were there on 9/11 or have a real connection to 9/11, especially if you worked for the media or were an authority that day, don't keep everything to yourself. Let people know what happened. It's important. And, you know, if you're going to believe the official story or you're going to believe this story, all I ask is do your research. The theory that I am leaning towards is that day they evacuated the building and got most of the people out, if not all the people out, and set up a Hollywood-style special effects with crying people and people running and covering people in dust, and, you know, all that stuff was Hollywood stuff. You could even hear people in the videos that day saying it was like a movie, because it was like a movie. And one of the people that shot the plane supposedly flying into the tower afterwards said it looked like a bad special effect. But we need to expose the media for their complicity in the operation of 9/11. We can't let them slide on this, because they're going to keep doing it over and over. I mean, they're a corporation, they're trying to make money, they're right in bed with the government, obviously, if you look at this, and the military, to fool us. I mean, it's a propaganda weapon, but I thought it was bad. I didn't know it was this bad. And here's the disclaimer, again, saying, if any of this turns out to be wrong, let the author of the site know. He puts his email up, and he would obviously look into anybody's claim and take the appropriate action. But as of up to now, it hasn't really changed anything. So again, if you were there that day, contact him and let him know what you know, because the more information can be gathered, the more we can find out what really happened. And 9/11 is very important to understand, because it's changed everything for the past 13, 14 years till now. And when people say we'll never forget and investigate 9/11, are they just saying that as lip service, or are they going to actually do it? You're going to actually investigate and take it as far as it can go. There's a good chance you're going to end up where I ended up. And where I ended up is seeing the unbelievable videos that came out showing special effects and the media being right complicit with what happened. And that goes against a lot of the truth movement stuff. And it's more important that we know we cannot trust the media at all, and that the mainstream media is just a corporation just trying to make money and will help the government in anything they need to do, as far as war, starting a war, putting out fake information, and things like that. But I'm not going to beat a dead horse any longer, so let's get to the last part of the video. And thanks for watching this short little portion where I showed you basically the things that I've found so far. And I encourage you to look for yourself, too. Thanks. This truth movement has only brought a small amount of lawsuits against the government, and always includes an outlandish claim such as a free energy weapon or a space laser beam, ensuring they are thrown out before they are ever taken to trial or even seriously considered. Find me one thing they have done as a group legally to challenge the official story that has gotten any traction. It's just more bread and circus for the segment of the population that doesn't believe the official story, taking the burden off of them because they figure it is being taken care of or something by this group, preventing more groups from being created. This group in reality only puts forward a partial theory and disparages anyone who makes a media fraud or CGI plane claim. You cannot speak at these quote-unquote open-minded people summit who claim they want people to investigate 9/11 because you will be ostracized and you will be kicked out. That is why I don't support this group and think that they are a controlled opposition. I am also an aviation enthusiast and love the art of flight. Most people don't know much about how airplanes work, how they are designed, and how they are flown. The perpetrators of this event took advantage of this fact in many ways. Airplanes are made of lightweight aluminum and fiberglass type materials as well as lightweight plastics. Everything from the body of the plane to the tray you eat your meals on. Flight is possible because the wings are designed to separate the air in such a way as to generate lift. Lift is generated when the ratio of speed of air over the wings is high enough to lift the weight of the structure off the ground. Airliners are not tanks in the sky. They are made much like a ping pong ball, as I said before, filled with air and made of lightweight material so they can generate this lift, and the lighter they are, the less fuel and thrust is necessary for them to fly from place to place, making them more economical as well. This is also why airplanes are so susceptible to bombings, because they are not structurally strong and a hole is not hard to put in one. This is also why something as small as a bird strike can cripple a plane or damage the nose, crumpling the hollow nose into itself. At higher altitudes, the air is thinner, making it more economical to fly through. This is why they fly so high. Less drag against the wings. A person cannot breathe at those altitudes, and that is why they pressurize the cabin by pumping extra air into it from the engines. This is also why they have the oxygen mask to drop in emergencies, so you can breathe until the pilots can get to an appropriate altitude so you can normally breathe. Because the air is thinner, higher speeds are possible. A speed that you can fly at 35,000 feet can rip a plane apart at 1,000 feet. Airplanes have a maximum speed set by the manufacturer by the altitude, and if this is surpassed, the plane will simply begin to break apart. This is why it is simply impossible for the airlines to have been flying 500 miles per hour plus into those buildings. It is simply impossible unless it is a special effect. The law of physics also shows that an airplane flying at high speed into a building is relative and no different than a building going 500 miles per hour into an airplane. In reality, the airplane would have crumpled, broken into thousands of small pieces, with most of it falling to the ground when it struck those towers. The problem is that this would be nearly impossible to simulate live, as well as take a lot of time to simulate and match from 30 or 40 different angles shot by different cameras. The only solution was to make the planes fly inside the buildings, which is physically impossible, but easy to insert into any video. Even large rockets designed by the military to destroy tanks need depleted uranium, one of the hardest substances on Earth, to penetrate the skin of the tank. If you cannot picture yourself being able to throw an egg through your refrigerator door, then you should find it hard for a lightweight aircraft to cut through a building like they did on 9/11. Even if they were somehow modified or something by the military, it is still not possible for that type of penetration. There are dozens of these anomalies that can be found in other videos and on the September Clues website, so I won't beat a dead horse. In closing, I want you to remember what I said at the start. Do not be scared. Do not be afraid of the future. Take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones, and be aware of what our news media and government is capable of. You don't need to change your life. You don't need to panic or obsess over all this. Just be aware of this. Don't listen to conspiracy theorists who tell you that we're all doomed and we need to move into a shack on top of a mountain and live off the land. Fear is not helpful when you're in any fight, including the fight for truth. Just be aware. Raise awareness of those you trust, and if you are in a position of authority or asked to do something you don't feel is right, simply do not comply. Non-compliance is a peaceful and neutral way to stand up for what you think is right. Do not yell the Constitution at an officer who just pulled you over for speeding. Just be a good person. Don't be a total asshole to a cop just because you don't like his job. Basically, don't be a dick. Of course, if the officer is doing something out of line, stand up for yourself, but I think you know what I mean. Spread love and happiness around, and do not comply with things that are wrong. As well as spread awareness of our media and government agenda, and things will get better. Thanks for watching, and if you're interested in more of this research, visit the September Clues website and search out the September Clues videos available on YouTube.